And we are back at the WFY Brownscast, presented by Evergreen Podcast Network. I'm your host, Joe Gilbert, with Taylor Jezerzak again here. And we're just recapping the another Browns loss, Browns lose to the Bills, 31-23.
This is starting to feel like a punishment.
I know, right? Yeah,
What have we personally done to deserve this?
Nothing, but I guess just being Browns fans, right? This point, this podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. For first-time depositors, enter in the code WFMY at checkout, and Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. Underdog is a great platform if you're tired of DFS seller system. There are tons of game types and drafts every night of the week for every sport. Don't forget to use WFNY to get your first deposit matched up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy. Initial thoughts there, Taylor, after this another brutal kind of mistake-filled loss.
I mean, I don't want to say it's hard to call the Bills the team that played better today. I think the Bills played so significantly better for about a 10-minute stretch that it overwhelmed the rest of the game. I don't know. It's another game where it felt like the Browns were way worse than they were because the mistakes are so glaring and consistent.
Yep. Yeah. The Bills were the cleaner team. Let's just kind of go through some of the mistakes. early in the first half was probably, obviously the second half was the bigger kind of deficit and whatnot, but the first half was kind of the frustrating one because they dominated for what, two thirds of the half?
For about 25 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was
if Grant Delpit is able to make that tackle on Dawson Knox to prevent a third and 10 pickup, I mean that wouldn't have been an easy play. I'm not going to completely absolve Grant Delpit from making that play, but I know it wouldn't have been easy. It's a play that he needs to at least slow him up a little more. Right. Yeah, like he obviously was going to go low and he just missed.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like every one of these losses, there you can go back to like some moment, this mistake. Another one was the fumble, the bad snap.
Yeah, I mean we have a guard playing center because I think we've now hurt about five centers this season.
Right. Yeah. So Nick Harris got hurt, and the rookie center got hurt, and now
Posick's hurt.
Posick's hurt.
The fourth guy they had in camp.
He got hurt.
Brock Hoffman is now on the practice squad in Dallas. I guess they could bring him back because he's on the practice squad, but I don't know. Like
he can't play center next week.
There is a limit, even with the best offensive line coach in the league.
Yeah.
There is a limit where when your right guard is hurt and dealing with an injury, when your right tackle is hurt and dealing with an injury, and when you're down to like your 17th center, that things just aren't going to look the same. And teams, as long as Jacoby Brissett is on the field, which it's not his fault, he's playing well. As long as Jacoby Brissett's on the field with Nick Chubb, teams are putting eight guys in the box and they're not able to run the ball. And Jacoby Brissett's not making mistakes, I don't think, for the most part. Nick Chubb hasn't suddenly turned bad.
Right.
It's just teams are defending it differently than they have been. And until besides the Browns.
Cincinnati.
God knows what they're doing with their lives. If they lose to Pittsburgh today, they might as well not even make the playoffs. It's frustrating because you can see the moments in a game where if the Browns did one thing differently or if one thing went their way instead of the other team's way.
Yep.
Like,
there's a couple in the first half. There's
like they lost by 8 points today.
Yeah.
I can't even completely blame the defense. They forced 6 field goals today.
Right.
Yes, they had another bad game stopping the run, but any game you force 6 field goals is a game you should probably win.
Right.
Like,
yeah. No, I know. It's just, it's another loss where you just like, you kind of like, okay, the defense wasn't bad. Like, they weren't great, but they weren't bad. The offense, the past game played really well.
I mean, they threw for 316 yards.
Yeah.
Like, they almost went for 400 yards on the Bills.
Like, it's just the margins.
Yeah, like, it's finishing drives. It's tight ends catching passes. It's
special teams can't do anything.
Yeah, special teams having a field goal blocked again. That's 3 points. Stepping out of bounds on a 2-point conversion. That's 2 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 5 points you threw away. It's a 31-28 game. You probably threw away points with the fumble drive because the Buffalo wasn't stopping you on that drive.
Mm-hmm. The 2 drops in the red zone in the first half.
Yeah, that's 4 points.
Back-to-back drops by tight ends.
That's 4 points. Harrison Bryant, I mean, I can't really blame him for that.
That would have been hard. Getting your
That's body control.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't get the ball thrown to him all that much. So, right. Like, not a whole lot of practice getting the toe tap.
Can't expect a tight end to have body control.
Yeah, most of his work comes between the hash marks. So, like, yes, you want your tight end to be able to make that catch, but there's very few tight ends in the league that are making that catch right now. Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, it's a weird feeling because the team plays well enough that you can still talk yourself into them not being horrible. Mm-hmm. But they've gotten no benefit of the doubt from the football universe this year, which I suppose might be earned.
Yeah.
Whether or not you want to.
I think it's
But like,
yeah,
we didn't earn this.
Right. True. Yeah.
Us personally did not earn this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tampa still kind of sucks. Maybe they'll beat them. I have no idea.
Right.
Like, they could have beaten Buffalo today. Like, it was there for them. They didn't. I don't think Buffalo necessarily is going to look back and say, we won that game. The Browns pretty much threw it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't a 23 loss.
They threw it away.
And it wasn't throwing it away. Oh my God. They had 4 turnovers. They had 1 turnover, but like against the Bills offense, that's points that you're taking off the board and giving to them. So like, and I don't want to make excuses for them. Like the fact that they're suddenly unable to run the ball is something they need to figure out.
Yeah.
And
they may not be able to figure it out until
for 2 more weeks. Yeah. God, that Tampa defense is going to hold them to like negative points. but the Tampa offense might also score negative points. So,
right.
Obviously there's going to be a lot of doom and gloom on Twitter, but like,
yeah,
I don't know. I can't like take away that many negatives like that are new. Like the defensive tackles still suck. Jordan Elliott made his first 2 plays of the season.
Yeah.
They're on back-to-back plays in what would have been defensive garbage time.
It's the same problems coming up, but they're like known problems. Like it's the run defense.
Yeah, it really doesn't lend us to any topics to talk about. Like,
I do,
different week.
Right. I do want to say the story that the announcers talked about the defense just holding meetings without coaches. not a great sign.
No, not something. No, and Myles Garrett let that out. He let that slip on purpose, probably.
Right.
I mean,
like, that's not. Yeah, and even if, like,
but the defense had one bad play today.
Right.
It was a, and to be honest, I don't even know what was going on with that play. The Bills had like seven dudes running in seven different directions. They had one guy flaring back for what looked like a halfback pass. They had two guys running pick routes on the right side, and then
it looked like there's the corner and the corners and the secondary just did not communicate who had what was going on.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that play was called fire drill because dudes were just running everywhere.
Yeah,
and yes, Stephon Diggs should be covered, but that wasn't a normal play. Like, the all 22 of that's going to be bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like Josh Allen threw for less than 200 yards and
right. Like, who
he looked he made like one or two good throws all day. A lot of dump offs. The Browns were giving him dump offs. And they were still tackling pretty well aside from the one Dawson Knox play. Like, the defense has shown signs of improvement everywhere that they are able to. But the fact that their defensive tackles are so bad prevents them from showing any semblance of sustained improvement in the run game. Like, having JOK back today was a boost. He was doing some good things in the run game. I don't see Deion Jones making enough of an impact. But I don't know how much of that is my defensive tackle is in my jock strap.
Also, going back to that story, but it was kind of weird hearing that Deion Jones is one of their leaders, and like, he just got here what, 4 weeks ago? Like, God,
I know it's been longer, and it's got to be 2 months by now.
Also, that's like, I don't know, that kind of drew my ear there too. It's tough to like there's not like any serious. Besides, like, the run defense, and then the run game just unable to do anything for the last, man, how many weeks has it been? Besides that Cincinnati game.
I pulled up Nick Chubb's game log. It has not been pretty since the Chargers game.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's teams are figuring it out.
He was okay against Baltimore. He was 16 for 91.
Mm-hmm.
But you take out 16 for 9, like, he had, what is that, 39 for 192 and three touchdowns against Baltimore and Cincinnati. He's got 12 for 56 against New England, 11 for 63 against Miami. Most of that came on one run, and 14 for 19 against the Bills. And we looked this up. The last time he had that bad a game was against the Jets in the tail end of the 2020 season when the team had no receivers. And even then he was better. I think he was like 19 for 68.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, 11 for 28.
Right.
Like, that's not good, but it was better than today.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb hasn't been stopped this hard since Hugh Jackson decided not to play him.
It's a clear, like, the league has a game plan against the Browns, and
Browns
just don't have any way to fix it right now.
Some of that is offensive line, like we were saying, like, at some point you just can't mask the problems on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, Blake Hance is even gone now. He's somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like,
Froholt is just not a NFL center. Like, we saw that in the first game here.
He was a serviceable NFL guard against the Bengals. He was not a good guard against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And he was a worse center against the Bills. Like, I mean, they're going to have to go out and find a center this week because I don't think you can run that out next week against Vita Vea.
Oh, God. No. Jeez. Brissett might just want to. Yeah, I'm gonna stay out of this game.
Hey, Josh, you want to play?
He's just going to get blasted in the face all night. Oh, God.
Jacoby Brissett's going to start licking sink handles in gas station bathrooms so he can get COVID.
Oh, my God.
And not get eaten by Vita Vea next week.
Hopefully Ethan can maybe get back, but I don't. He was didn't play after, what, one snap it took?
Yeah.
And it, I don't know. They said it was a knee injury, I think, because they tried to put a brace on it and that didn't work.
I mean, I think your option now is to go get another center. I mean, you just can't. You can't. Like,
gotta have somebody confident.
I watched the Panthers last year put up a zero blocking grade against the Dolphins. The entire line had a zero pass protection grade, and I wouldn't be shocked if that's what Froholt had today. Like,
yeah. He couldn't snap it. He couldn't block anybody in the run game. God, no,
and I can't necessarily even blame him. It's not his position. It's,
no, he shouldn't be out there.
No, like when your fifth center is playing center in an NFL game against the best team in your conference.
Yeah.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!
I do wonder, what was I gonna say? there's a couple things that I just didn't understand. Well, the two back to back quarterback sneaks were kind of a death nail in the coffin of this game. I know the first one I agreed with, that's fine. That's what they do. They've been so successful all year on that. But when you see the guy just get absolutely exploded, just blown up on.
Yeah.
And then you run it again, like that one made no
sense. In his defense, not many defense are going to expect it twice in a row.
True. Should you expect it though?
I don't know.
That one I scratched my head on because do anything else, because you're putting all the pressure on a backup guard.
we got a third string guard in there playing fifth string center.
Right.
We got our right guard who's dealing with an injury and hasn't played substantial reps in a month. We got our right tackle who's been injured for the better part of the last two seasons.
Yeah. A left tackle was like a roller coaster, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I know we talked about that in the preview. I'm sure. I mean, the issue is he has some glaringly bad reps
It doesn't
take a savant to see a bad offensive line play.
Yeah, right. That's why people think, oh, he's been just absolutely terrible. He hasn't, but it's just those giant negative plays that are just so glaring.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And then you got Joel Bitonio, who's just being Joel Bitonio. Probably where the hell is my help? I would love to know, just to be in his head right now. Like, he's gone from just an elite offensive line to just a banged up one. And he's all left alone on this island, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not much they can do. It's the unfortunate truth of what's happening right now. And the league is going to keep exposing him. The Bucks have a defense that can take advantage of it. I guess we'll see. I mean, as long as Jacoby Brissett's throwing for 316, you'd imagine that teams are going to defend it a little bit, but I guess teams are okay with that because
Jacoby Brissett. It takes a while for it to get go. Like, his 316 yards are not a, like, explosive, like, throw down.
No.
He made some throws down the field, obviously, but, like, it takes him, what, how many passes did he have? 28 to get to that number. Like, it, and defense, that's why defense are going to allow that. They know that he's not going to kill him with these throws downfield that can kind of change the game in one play.
Man, 12 of Nick Chubb's rushing yards came on one play.
Yeah.
That means he had 13 carries for 7 yards.
Yeah, he had a couple of negative runs. Like, you don't usually. He was more productive in the pass game.
Yeah.
If I told you that, like.
He was their third leading receiver.
Yeah, there's a couple things. If I told you before the game, you would not believe me. Josh Allen would be outthrown by Jacoby Brissett.
By a lot.
Yeah, Nick Chubb would be more productive as a receiver. I think Hunt outgained.
No, here's the one you wouldn't have believed. Nick Chubb and Stephon Diggs had the same amount of receiving yards.
that is another good one. Like, that is insane. Like they did. That's another thing about the defense. Like, it's
the,
like,
defense does so many things well on a week to week basis.
And then, but they just have these, like,
they can't stop the run.
They can't tackle.
Well, they've been considerably better at tackling since the Cincy game.
Yeah, but they still have, like, these one or two plays where just, like, they look like they're first graders against,
yeah,
against the fresh.
Better than it was in the beginning of the season where they had one or two plays a drive. True. Where they were doing that. True. So, like,
and the miscommunications are getting lesser and lesser. There's,
yeah,
that one really bad one, obviously, in the end zone, but
yeah, that doesn't make or break a game. The issue is they're just not, they don't have any kind of run stopping presence on the defensive line.
Yep.
Without Jadeveon Clowney or Myles Garrett making a play. Like, they made some decent plays today in the running game.
Mm-hmm.
It was just your defensive tackles are getting blown off the ball. Like, Tommy Togiai had one tackle and a 15-yard penalty. Taven Bryant had one tackle, and I think he was credited for the sack where Josh Allen fell down. Yeah. Alex Wright had one tackle, and I think he drew a hold. Like,
right.
But when your defensive lineman's most notable stat is drew hold.
Yeah.
Like
basically the defensive line is two guys, and that's just not good, right? You're getting very, very limited impact from anybody else. And it's mostly because of, like, failed plays by the other team.
Yeah.
The thing I wanted to talk about also is the linebacking core is just is a lot better when JOK is out there. Like, they played last week, they were just abysmal. That was one of the worst games that we've seen them play. And then this week, they look 100% better because they have their best player in the lineup.
Deion Jones didn't register a stat.
Yeah. But I'm like,
I'm looking for his name, and he, like, didn't register a tackle.
Like, Taki Taki played well.
Yeah, no, he, mostly. Like, and Koromo had 12 tackles. Like,
yeah. Right. It just shows you kind of the
frustrating because you can, like, you see it.
Yeah, it just shows you how slim the error their errors are, like the error of margin of error is on this team. Like, if they didn't have JOK, it would have been it's a garbage.
But, yeah,
like,
if they had Anthony Walker right now, they'd probably not be giving up 170 yards on the ground a game. They might be giving up 140, but that's a big difference.
Right. And this is yet another non-rushing team that was able to just gash them. And there's plays like that one touchdown drive in the second half. There's just a couple plays where it was Miami all over again, where the holes were just gigantic. Guys weren't even getting touched. The touchdown run, the running back didn't get touched.
No.
It's just awful. It is historically bad.
I mean,
it's one of those things that they won't be able to fix until the offseason.
No, yeah, this is an offseason fix now. Like, no amount of people coming back from injuries is going to save you.
Yeah.
No amount of signing Ndamukong Suh, who obviously was signed this past week, but
right.
No amount of signing Ndamukong Suh is going to save you.
I really hope this is the kind of final straw for Andrew Berry to figure out, okay, I cannot just put anybody out there and hope it works. Like, this,
yeah,
they got to do something. They got to hit it heavy. Like, they can't just do one signing or one draft pick. They got to hit it multiple times because there are no playable guys on that line right now. In the interior. Yeah, in the interior. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing that you have to consider is that you're not going to have Jadeveon Clowney back likely next season.
Yeah, he's probably gone.
And it's not like he's making that much of an impact anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, better than the alternatives. Right.
Yeah,
I don't know. This defense has to almost be rebuilt in the front seven this offseason. And, people are still going to say, oh, my God, they don't have a draft pick. But, you don't need a first-round draft pick to pick a defensive tackle.
No. Yeah, they don't go in the first round unless you're, elite, game-changing. But
or if Dave Gettleman is drafting you.
Right. Sure. Some of them is just – they just need to get a run stuffer, a guy that can just stop the run.
They need not even someone who makes a whole bunch of plays.
No, just
– defensive tackle, you make plays at defensive tackle by not getting blown off the ball.
Yeah. If I can find a guy that can stay in his place, maybe take out a couple blocks, that's all we need. Like, we don't need a guy that can – splice into the backfield and make plays last week.
We're not asking for Aaron Donald. We're asking for
Washington when he was old.
I don't even know if we want that. Like,
but people had to run around him and they couldn't push him in 2-5 yards back. Like, it's just, yeah, that is position number one. Maybe number three.
And I know people spent the entire offseason bitching about the wide receivers, but they're missing a guy that can take the top off right now, but the rest of the receiving core seems fine.
Right. Yeah.
Donovan Peoples Jones has been very good the last 2 months.
He's taken a step up. He's consistent every week.
His awareness on the sidelines is commendable.
Yeah, and he catches everything. His hands are really good. He can't separate, but hey, you can't be perfect out there. You can't be he's a seventh rounder, and he's being highly productive as a number two receiver.
He's probably going to get over 1,000 yards this year.
Right. Yeah, receiver is not a big, especially with Deshaun Watson coming back. I wouldn't put that up there as one of the
top. No, they need to fix the defense before they need to do anything to the offense.
Yeah.
Obviously, you probably need to. I hate talking about offseason this early because they could win next week and then roll off 5 of 6 with Watson and be right in the playoff hunt. But
yeah,
it's. The needs are all defensive right now. Yeah. You probably need some O-line depth.
Yeah, definitely.
And you might need a right tackle. I don't know if they're going to bring Conklin back. He has an out in his contract, and
it'll be interesting if they want Hudson there or not. Like, I know he played bad today when he came in, but he has played well. So
yeah, I did hear something interesting about maybe moving Wills back to right tackle because that's his positioning from college. Hmm. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to work. He was only playing right tackle because Tua was a lefty.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't mess with that. But I would put offensive line in front of receiver right now. I would put defensive line, obviously, is the number one thing. Backup edge, probably. Well, we need a starting edge.
Yeah. I mean, they just need to rebuild the defense, the front seven.
Yeah, front seven. Yeah.
A lot of the secondary is probably coming back, the ones that aren't named John Johnson. Yeah, and Ronnie Harrison.
I think safety would probably be on the list because Grant Delpit.
I mean, Delpit's not bad. He's been playing
Well the last few weeks. He needs somebody to play with him. And
yeah.
John Johnson's gone. Ronnie, I don't think they can bring Ronnie Harrison back because he's invisible, just like John Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, the team probably isn't – like, we're not talking about a team that needs to replace 11 of 22 starters to be good. Right. You probably just need five dudes.
Right. Like, corner's good.
And some new coordinators. But yes.
That is objective number one with the defense. New coordinators. I wouldn't mind seeing different position coaches because it seems like there's no improvement sometimes in some of the positions.
I mean this podcast is starting to feel like a bit of an obituary for the
season. Yeah, I know.
I
wrote it in the recap. I don't see how. This seemed like the loss that kind of – this is a deep hole they're putting themselves into.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I think the season goal is to not give the Texans a good pick.
Right.
because the better the pick is, the louder the talk is going to be from the know-it-alls on Twitter.
Yeah.
If
only there was NBA
protections. Could you imagine?
That would be pretty funny.
It's a top five protected pick.
Browns picking number five.
I mean, if that was the case, then the Browns would have never gotten Denzel Ward.
No. Yeah. Right. Sure.
I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot to take away from this game. A lot of it's the same shit.
Yeah, it was a microcosm of the whole season.
But, like, and it's not like this is against a bad team either. Like your losses the last 2 weeks, while the Dolphins one was really bad because they were never in the game. You never were in the game. Like your losses other than that have been to the Bills, the Ravens, the Patriots and the Chargers. Like those are four of your last five losses. And all of those teams are in the playoffs right now, I think, except for maybe the Chargers.
And it just shows you the frustration. Like you're at their level, but you just are failing.
Is Deshaun Watson good enough to make up 3 points against the Falcons?
I would hope so.
Is Deshaun Watson good enough to make up 2 points against the Chargers?
I would think so.
Is Deshaun Watson good enough to make up 3 points against the Ravens?
Definitely, yes.
Is Deshaun Watson good enough to make up 8 points against the Bills when you held them to three field goals? Or six field goals?
Yeah.
Like, that's the issue with this season. Like, the unfortunate part is you're relying on someone who is gone and is gone for things they deserve to be gone for. But like your banking, like your entire franchise is hinging on someone that can't play, and all of these games you're losing are differences that he can make.
Right.
And the trouble is, yes, Joe Woods would probably still deserve to be fired, but if they win all these games,
it might have been covered up.
Yeah, like there's no reason to fire. Like if they don't blow the Jets game, if they make a field goal against the Chargers, if they don't get called for a pretty bad pass interference call against the Ravens. Yeah. Like,
By the way, he did the same play today.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper did the little stiff arm kind of thing. No call.
Yeah. But. So like, the team isn't far away, and they're getting their hopefully best player back in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a top five quarterback in this league is usually worth, what would you say, about 6-7 points in a game? Yeah, probably at least.
At least, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, and we're getting good quarterback play.
Yeah.
It just shows you, like, the difference.
I think the one of the biggest things we can talk about is, even though the offense has been very good for the most part, it's frustrating because you can see where they're lacking, and not all of it is in the run game. It's red zone offense where the gaps are tighter, and when you're not able to run the ball down there, those gaps become even smaller.
Right.
And as we've said many times, Jacoby Brissett is not usually someone who's going to fire it in to gaps that maybe Deshaun Watson will.
Right.
And maybe someone like Deshaun Watson is able to put enough, like, just pinpoint that pass to Harrison Bryant the first one he dropped. The second one wasn't a drop. Right. The one he dropped, that pass had to be thrown hard, but it also had to fall into the right spot, and it ended up being like 6 inches high.
Yeah.
So yeah.
There's every game we'd see like two or three or four kind of passes that were like, okay, if we had somebody else out there.
Yeah. And I will expect because Houston is really bad. Right. But
and their fans are showing it.
But
greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Can we expect Deshaun Watson to come in the first game and light the Texans up? I mean, he might have the motivation to. But
that actually might be where kind of this season it's not going to be that bad, because I feel like we're putting all this kind of expectations on what he's going to be when he comes back. But the guy hasn't played in almost two years, in a regular season game, at least. Like, to expect that to come out of the gate. And if we were like, say we were in kind of playoff position or close to it, and then put him in those, like, I think it may actually kind of this. I really think just
and the, could it when, could it be a situation like what we saw with Garoppolo in 2017? I don't know, or 2018, I think it was, where he played the last six games with the 49ers. They won their last six games or something, and they went to the Super Bowl the next year. I don't know.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I think when the suspension came down with 11 games, I think we probably should have had the expectations like this might be a throwaway year.
But the unfortunate part is that's become the reality because they haven't been able to win close games.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's not a throwaway year if you have two more wins and you're potentially 5-6 or 6-5.
But without him, there's no margin there, and that's where this team is at. So,
like, there's not a single game on the schedule that once he comes back that I'm looking at and saying they cannot win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
unless Bill Belichick was on the team,
they're going to Houston, they're going to Cincinnati, who can't beat the Browns for some reason. Yep. They have the Ravens at home, who shouldn't have beat the Browns in the first game. They have the Saints at home, who are not good.
No.
They go to Washington, who is weird. They're weird.
I know they're one of those teams that are really bad, but then they can beat anybody for some reason.
I mean, they're 6-5, so like, I don't know what they're doing, but I mean, they beat the Texans today.
Yeah,
their wins are against the Jaguars, Bears, Packers, Colts, Texans, and Eagles. So they have like one good win in there,
right? The Eagles one stands out.
Yeah. Oh my God, they play the Giants two games. They have the same thing that we had against the Ravens last year. They have the at Giants, bye, home to Giants.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. But like, I cannot honestly sit back and say that they couldn't win their last six games if if Watson comes back and is as much of a difference maker as we hope he can be.
Right.
I'm not banking on it, him being that kind of player, but they have six winnable games to close the season. And the most painful way for this to end would be for them to win six games to close the season, finish 9-7 and be one game out. And you're looking at the Jets game and the Chargers game, which you should have won and you didn't.
Especially the Jets game. I really think that might actually be the deciding factor.
Yeah.
Like, they may be that just that. God, I can't get over that loss still. And it's funny, like, and it shows you, like, the Jets are good. Like, they're not great or anything, but they're a lot better than them here. And the Browns were way better than them for 75% of that game.
75?
Okay.
97.
Like, it just shows you how this team is good. It just doesn't have that kind of eraser, which Deshaun, when he's fully healthy and fully at his level, he can erase the mistakes and kind of make this team better than what it is now.
Yeah. I mean, the really hard to analyze part about this season is how close they truly are to not being as bad as their record. Like, they're not a team that is 3-7 bad.
Right.
For the most part. Like, the run defense is 3-7 bad. The rest of the team is not 3-7 bad. But
like, I could say this team would probably trounce every other Cleveland Browns team besides the playoff season, I would say. I think they would probably.
The thing with the playoff season is they stayed remarkably healthy.
Right. Yeah. In a pandemic year.
Yeah. The offensive line stayed healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
So even when they lost guys during the pandemic, they were only down to the second guy.
Right. Did all five of the linemen play every game? I think it was pretty close. I think Conklin may have missed the game.
Conklin and Teller, I think, missed one each.
Yeah.
But it was never extended periods. The only player, aside from OBJ, the only player to miss extended time that year was Chubb. He missed four games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's incredible. But, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what else we could say. It's just like,
I don't know. I mean, they finally get to play a home game. I feel like they've not been at home for the better part of the last like month and a half.
Yeah, since Halloween.
Yeah. And even before, like, they've played one game at home since October 22nd.
We only got three left.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, and I think they play at home next week, and then
they have the Ravens and Saints at home, and then they close with two games on the road. I don't know. It was a weirdly laid out schedule.
It is. Yeah, it definitely is, because they packed the home games in early and then late in the season. What is it? Two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah, I don't know. So, say any final thoughts?
I don't know. I guess we put ourselves through this again next week, too.
I know, right? I'll be at the game, so it'll be later. But, final game of Brissett's Browns career. barring injury.
And you know what? He might be a top five quarterback since they come back. He might be a top three quarterback since they've come back.
Oh, he's clearly
he might be a top two quarterback since they came back.
I can say it without a doubt. He is a top five. Let's see.
Hell, you might even be able to argue that he was the best.
Right. There's a couple years that Couch played well. A couple half seasons, so good Couch. But, yeah. That's I mean, where we're at.
You have 2018 and 2020 Baker Mayfield. And then you have
half of those seasons, really.
You have 12 games of Derek Anderson in 2007. Mm-hmm. You have 8 games of Brian Hoyer, or like 10 games of Brian Hoyer in 2014.
Yep.
Like 75 feet of crap under them. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And hopefully we get the best quarterback coming back in that we have ever seen since 99 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean.
Not a high bar to beat, but.
No, it's a fairly low bar to clear.
But one that could.
But if could he comes in, and throws for like. I mean, if dude comes in and throws for like 2,500 to 3,000 yards in 6 games.
Oh, man.
I mean. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yep.
It's hard to.
Yeah, I just don't know what to say.
It's hard to analyze because it's the same things every week. Mm-hmm. They're not getting fixed. So I'm sure we could spend an entire, I feel like we've done the Joe Woods diatribe enough.
Yeah. I think at this point, the writing is on the wall. Finally, at least I would hope so.
Yeah. Once again, I've missed all the post game tweets. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Like, I would hope the writing is on the wall that he is finally gone, unless they somehow do the same thing last year where they just become a really dominant defense and shut down the Packers. Like, but I think it's finally on the wall. So hopefully that's an improvement. But other than that, yeah.
Yep, I mean, there's just not a whole lot to add. The run defense sucked. The pass defense did enough, but couldn't overcome the run defense. Jacoby Brissett was good, but not good enough. And the NFL has, with Jacoby Brissett on the field, figured out how to stop the running game. And special teams still blows.
That has been consistent. That's like, special teams have been the one consistent.
Honestly, when Cade York has put up a kick, they've been like, he's been kicking the ball well, but I think he's had like 3 field goals blocked.
Right. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know enough about field goal kicking, like, to know if it was like
trajectory or blocking.
Trajectory or blocking.
I don't know. Like, today felt like blocking.
Right. Because I think it was, what was that, 30-yarder or something like that, or close to
it was under 40, right? I don't remember.
Let's just say it wasn't a kick that you would have a low trajectory on.
I think someone just got blown up. 34-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Yay.
It was like we've kind of been blessed with just kind of at last, two or so seasons with great offensive line play, but these last couple games, they've just been.
And some of the offensive line, like, injuries are bleeding into what the kicking game is, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would think so, because you're putting in probably guys that shouldn't be on a field to be blocking.
Yeah.
That's when you put in your backups to kind of block these things. And when the backups are playing on your offensive line, like,
you're down to tight ends and linebackers blocking for field goals. I mean, that's probably not the case. I don't know who's in on field goals. I would have to look at the film, and quite frankly, I don't have a whole lot of time during the week to stare at all 22s, but, I don't know. He's had a bunch of kicks blocked this year, and I think only two of them you would say are his fault.
Right.
But
yeah,
when the ball has gotten past the line of scrimmage, the last few weeks the kicks have looked good. They're not like wobbling all over the place. They're going in. It's just a matter of getting it over the line of scrimmage, and
that's kind of where the kind of special teams is at. Like the coverage team sucks. Like, what the first two punt returns, they just gave up, I don't know how many yards, quite a few, more than they should have.
Yep.
Jerome Ford looks like the kick returner, so that's good.
Yeah, he looks solid. I don't understand why the Bills kept kicking it to him, to be honest.
Right.
I think after the long one down the near sideline, they were just like, you know what? Nope. We're done.
Okay. Now if we only get our special teams coach to figure that out, let's just kick it through the end zone and live another day.
Yeah.
But it's I think the writing is on the wall for both those coaches, you would hope. Because their units have been consistently bad, barring what, two or three good performances, but they're both, Joe Woods and Prever are both coaches that are not helping the situation. That is clearly seen.
No, and there certainly could be an argument to be made that Joe Woods, like, what is he going to do with defensive tackles that are not NFL, not even NFL backup caliber? But at some point you have to make some kind of adjustment.
And, there's things you can try to hide them or try to do something, but like, yeah. Okie doke. Anything else, my man? This is just the season of, I don't know.
Yeah. Because as much as you want to give some kind of hard-hitting analysis, like, we don't have film. We have numbers. We can look at numbers. We can trust our eyes. I don't think we're stupid when it comes to football. And what we see every week is that this team is really damn close. And, you know, maybe if they had two more defensive tackles that could actually play the game of football, they'd have more wins than they do right now. If Cade York makes, like, the Cade York thing balances itself out, because as some unnamed Twitter people have said on some unnamed beat writers have said, what if he missed that field goal week one? What if he made the field goal week four? Like, it balances itself out. So you win one, you lose one on the kicker's foot. But
yep.
The team is really close to not being 3-7, and they're 3-7. Like, my dad always says, you are your record, but like, are the Browns a 3-7 team? Probably not.
Right.
I think they're 5-5 with really bad luck.
Yeah. Yep.
And saying they're 5-5 isn't like saying, oh my God, they should be first place in the North. 5-5 is literally average.
Yeah. Meh. So, they're meh.
Yeah, they're 5-5 with bad luck.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's all we got, man. We got one more game of Jacoby Brissett, and then we'll kind of see where this actual team is. We'll actually see the team that we're going to have the next couple of years, hopefully.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is another WFMY Brownscast, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. We'll be back sometime this week to talk about, obviously not on Thanksgiving.
Hopefully I get to talk about a win sometime in my lifetime here.
Right, I know, right?
I haven't gotten to talk about a win since the Steelers game.
Yeah. Yeah, one of these days we will. Buccaneers preview show sometime next week before Thanksgiving, I would assume. So, take a look, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Oh. I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.